When you want to grow your business, use Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Seamlessly collaborate with your team using a suite of built-in tools and features to make your workday easier, like huddles to schedule impromptu meetings and avoid another calendar invite, or Workflow Builder, which lets you automate routine tasks so you can spend more time on the work that matters most. Slack. Grow your business here. Learn more at slack.com.
How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. The award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. With powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management, Constant Contact helps the small stand tall. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I am here tonight with some wonderful guests to recap tonight's episode of Big Brother Canada 10. We have a new HOH. We have more revenge to work through, and we're going to talk through it all here. With me tonight is AJ. How are you doing, AJ?
I'm doing extremely well, Taryn, and let me tell you, as someone who grew up playing sports, sportsmanship is overrated. It's overrated.
yes, truly, Petty Betty
loves.
What's
Betty? Betty was like an icon tonight, and we must not ever stop talking about it.
I need us to think through what is the AJ equivalent to Petty Betty. I can't come up with one on the spot, but by the end of the podcast, hopefully we can loop back around.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Also with us tonight is Penny Jenny. Jenny, how you doing?
Oh no. We should workshop that one as well.
I mean, it's close. We're just a couple of letters off.
You're right there.
If your name was Jetty, it would be much better.
I guess I should change my name to Jetty. It rolls off the tongue.
Well, you got three dots right there. You can do it real quick.
Yeah, that's true. Let's change it. Yeah, no, I found that there were layers of a endurance challenge tonight. So there was the actual endurance challenge. Then there was the endurance challenge of being out of the endurance challenge and staying awake for it. And then there was the third layer of us watching this endurance challenge on our TV after, you know, most of us already knowing the result. But I got through it, okay?
Listen, I was struggling like Kevin.
Hey, this was a very important HOH for Marty.
That was personal.
How dare you?
Sorry, Marty.
I'm sorry you almost got backdoored, but didn't. It must be so hard.
No. Yes, we're going to talk through it all here as we talk through the Monday night episode, Big Brother Canada 10. We started off with a recap, and let me tell you that ever since Thursday night, I've been waiting for this exact moment when the announcer said,
"And a landslide unanimous vote."
Like, honestly, he was sitting on that for so long. Like, the sole purpose they casted that man was the prayer to God that they can make this fun at the end of the day.
How dare you? Moose was excellent casting. But yes, you know, that was built in. That was a built in benefit. Hopefully, I mean, he gets voted out unanimously so I can make this pun.
literally since Thursday night when Arissa said
by a unanimous vote.
It's wrong. It sounds wrong to your ears, right? It needs to be.
It's not the right
by a unanimous Moose. Vote.
Oh, that sounds better. Oh, that feels good.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That's basically how we pronounce it in Canada anyway. So I think that Arissa has just been like getting rid of the Canadian accent for TV, perhaps. And, you know, sometimes you just fall back into it.
You kind of fall back into it because it leaves you empty without the unanimous Moose. Like, that fills your soul. That's chicken soup for the soul.
This is a good jumping off point as well, though, because I'm wondering if you Canadians also pronounce something else a little bit different than I'm used to.
Being called a calm beast by Dan.
By Dan.
That is a like a particular regional way of saying Dane, I'm thinking, but I had to second guess, and I was like, this is Dane, right?
like we were straight up being gaslit by this man. He said no one is safe.
What else is new, AJ?
I guess Dane wasn't good enough. He was like, no, sorry, I would rather it be Dan Giesling. man, being called a comp beast by Dan. Ooh.
Also known as a comp beast in his own right.
Of course. He said that when he won HOH, it was like a funeral.
Dane's funeral.
Like, I was warning. Like, I'm not going to lie. The moment I heard that man won, I was like, well, you know what? This isn't going to be a good week. But thanks to an edible object, life is good again.
Yes. Well, we will get into the future of this this week at a later time.
The future.
But yes, the future is bright. But for now, we are here. We're going to get back to this HOH competition. But first, they do something that I really liked. I enjoyed the episode overall. And I think that a large part of it was because of this pre-HOH segment that they did, where we're immediately seeing the aftermath and of the previous Unanimous eviction. And we saw that Moose decided to let Marty know, hey, just so you know, there was a plan in place to backdoor you. And now Marty is like, oh man,
friggin' hurt.
He's walking around. Oh, no. And Gino and Jace can tell that something's wrong. They're like, maybe the fact that everyone else in the house knew that we were going to backdoor Marty other than Marty, maybe that means that there's a chance that it got back to Marty. Luckily for them, they were gifted with this power, and they have the best built-in excuse. Despite the fact that they genuinely were planning to backdoor Marty, they can say, and Gino's going to get to Marty right before the HOH competition and say, hey, we had the power and we didn't do it. So obviously it's a lie. There's a rumor going around. People are just like, for some reason, they thought it was going to happen. I don't know. That's wishful thinking, I guess. But obviously we weren't going to do it, because if we were going to, we would have. How does that make sense that we were going to and then we wouldn't have? It doesn't.
Now, Terrence, say all of that again in French.
I did say it in French. The podcast is a universal translator.
French accent, right? It's again regional. No, I absolutely loved any time where we get to see like behind the scenes as like they're getting ready for a comp. Anything like, you know, that happened during the like live episode that we didn't get to see during the live episode. That stuff's always great. But yeah, it's literally the most perfect excuse for you know, like getting this guy off of you before he is eventually going to win HOH. I also enjoyed that Gino in the HOH in one of his DRs was like, oh, like the plan was to backdoor Marty, and you know, it didn't work out. And it's like, well, it's not like it didn't work out. Like
it's not like didn't have the option. Y'all could have done it if you really wanted to. Like that's the weird thing with what was just said in French by Taryn. Like everything he said should have made logical sense. But for some reason last week, that wasn't it. Like it was so weird, your warped perception that you have a plan. You decide to put a plan in action. You tell everyone about the plan. And then the BB gods, the people that I know so well, were like, you know what? We're going to give you a safety pass. We're going to give you an out. This is not going to be your first or last out, but we're going to give it to you.
I mean, hey, is this emerging strategy that you should intentionally do something nonsensical so that you can make a sensical argument later to say, obviously, that's not true. It makes no sensicals.
Is that what Marty's been doing this whole game?
Of course.
It's the long game. Like, it's 4D chess. Like, he's like, going to tell everyone to kick their feet up and then put those people up and then, you know, be like, why would I do that? I wouldn't have told this person to kick their feet up and then put them on the block. And I wouldn't keep doing that every single week. That doesn't make sense. Why would I do that?
It makes no logical sense. I'm not a madman. Like, why would I do such a thing? Like, yeah. I feel like my things should have reason. Like, people are rational beings, and I am obviously one of those things.
Yeah. And like, if somebody puts Marty up next week and they go, look, Marty, even Dan said that you were a comp beast. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're a threat and you need to go. Marty can be like, excuse me. Why would Dan be giving messages in the Wendy's window? It's Dame. Why are you lying right now?
Like, he's good at it.
I want him in the final two chairs, just spitting, like, gaslighting these house guests into voting for him.
I mean, seriously, you
really suck at lying.
Really suck at lying if you think you're going to trick everyone into thinking Dan was in the Wendy's window.
Well, Dan did come into the house, and if we're bringing back all of the same things from the year, so, I mean, that's not the wildest thing. Oh, yeah, Dan actually was back again, and he was giving me advice. That went really well last time.
Imagine Dan Giesling in this house, right?
Like, he'd be like, Marty, you know what you're doing right now? Stop that. Like, just stop it. Like, you need a entire rewiring of, like, your entire circuit board.
All right, Gino, how would you describe your game to me?
I'm definitely a lover boy.
Okay. So, Gino, you see what you're doing? You need to continue doing that because it's working for some reason.
Just continue to be a lover boy.
Yeah. Like, up to this point in time in BBH, BB Canton, it is working perfectly fine.
Well, when you can just trade off HOHs with a man that's literally obsessed with you, despite the fact that he has frequently gone against you, yeah, then it does work out fine. You have your showmans. Mm-hmm. You have this man who, you know, wins every HOH that you don't win. This is great. Absolutely nothing could go wrong here. Like,
yeah,
if you're Gino, you're a lover boy and you're a laughing boy because things are great, right? Right, everyone? Yes.
You're coming into the final eight. It's you, your showmance, a man who will die for you against Betty, Summer, and Helena. No offense to Helena and Kevin, their comp abilities. But it's like, Gino got it looking good, baby. Like, if I could swap into anyone's position, like, Gino wouldn't be a bad one to swap into.
Yeah.
These statements will all very, you know, hold up very well.
Well, I feel like something has to be addressed, which is that Betty is clearly being given access to Twitter. She's clearly been reading my tweets because she had this to say about the HOHs.
There have been eight HOHs. Five of them have been repeats. So there's only been three people that were different.
Like, all right, Betty, I get it. You're reading my tweets. You're saying my points on the show.
Karen, it's the only possible way that she could count is if she read your tweets, right?
We know the level of math that's going on in this Big Brother Canada house.
That's true.
25 hours per day, and there's 4 days per 100 hour.
Oh, he's my God. So pretty. He really is.
Like, my math heart hurt when I heard that. Like, it hurt so much. I wanted to cry.
AJ, I don't even have a math heart, and it hurt.
So they're all panicking, trying to get to each other before the HOH competition. Mm-hmm. The voice is coming. You have 3 minutes until the HOH competition begins. And so Gino gets to Marty. They get up on the wall. It's less of a wall and more of like a
ramp, like a almost.
Slide. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a slippery, slidey ramp.
Slippery slide.
But it's a mountain, apparently.
Like, I genuinely looked at it. I was like, how are you supposed to get into position without legit falling off? Like, it was weird.
Yeah, so I love how we'll come back to this, but I love how they point out in the beginning that in order to make it fair, that everybody's lanes have been measured and adjusted according to their height, which clearly by the end of this competition is going to matter a whole lot.
I am so annoyed that this was a thing because it completely changes the the type of competition it is when it suddenly is 100% about upper body strength. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like it was like production was more tired than Gino at this point. And they're like, all right, guys, we got to we got a lunch break coming up. If you guys can just hurry this up, just use your arms at this point. That would be great. Like, let this go all night. Like, they were saying this could go all night. Let it go all night. This is what we wanted. Also, show it on the feeds.
Like, yes, let it go all night to show it on the feeds. But if you're not going to show it on the feeds, like, you know what? Go to bed. Go to get your a nice nap. Like a nice cookie, warm milk. Love yourself. But, however, like truly, it went from Jace like just straight up on that wall vibing to like out in like a minute or so like that. Like upper body strength, especially who was the final five? It was Marty, Betty,
Josh, Summer, and Jace. Yeah.
Yeah, it was everyone like, except for Josh. Or
like if you were asking like who has the best upper body strength, it is 100% the 43-year-old man.
But he's got a busted knee, not a busted arm.
And okay, I have to address the 43-year-old is like the most physical like person. First of all, like 43 is not that old. Like I am probably like listen here. I am here to defend the olds.
Jenny is 43 years old.
Understood.
Really, I am 43. No, but I think I am closer in age to Gino than I am like who's the youngest person in the house at this point? JC Lynn maybe. And like 40, like I think that when I was like in my early 20s, I thought 43 was old. 43 is not that old. And also like my dad is 62 and he plays hockey every week. My dad is absolutely more athletic than I am. Like, so I think that if you are an athletic person in general, the age thing doesn't really like impact as much as you'd think, but it's a really great thing to lean on because people are just so obsessed with the number and thinking that like, it's such a, there's such a huge difference. But as soon as, again, as soon as we switch to hands only, the biceps were popping. And, you know, like you see JC Lynn's little arms, that would be me. And like immediately the only two people that like, you could see Josh's bicep and you could see Marty's popping. I'm like, well, obviously this is like, so I just have to say like, everyone's like, oh my God, I can't believe the most physical like person in the house is like a 43-year-old guy with a bad knee. If you are an athlete, I like it doesn't matter. Like a 43-year-old athlete is going to be better than like a 30-year-old non-athletic person that doesn't work out. Like, it is what it is.
Like, look at this season of Survivor. Mike's one of the most more physical people on there. Thankfully, he was on the tribe with Jonathan, then it would be hidden. But like, because of the tribe he started on, it was like obvious who was the biggest man. Like, it's just like who you happen to be. Like, if you can keep fit and athletic and stuff like that, it's like who you're surrounded by, which makes it very obvious who Marty. That this was Marty's comp to lose as soon as they switched it up. But I think if they did switch it up, I think there's a non-zero chance that Marty does not win this comp.
Well, Marty the comp beast, it would not be fair to backdoor him as a 43-year-old.
If any of your house guests need to backdoor a 43-year-old man with a bad knee and bad shoulders, I don't think that you guys would be worthy of being called a Big Brother winner.
Bad knee, bad shoulders, man.
They were just so bad. Bad ass.
Jenny.
I'm sorry, should I leave?
Please.
Dumb ass man believes that.
Look, I made a bad joke and my camera got blurry.
Your like, camera's like,
it was ashamed.
Technology said absolutely not.
They said, Jenny, you need to be punished for what you just said.
Oh my goodness.
They're like, I can't even look at you right now.
Yeah. This webcam said, no, girl. I don't know what to do.
The webcam was like, there is too much praise of Marty going on right now. We need to shut this down.
Listen.
I do think that it also came down to just like the traction of their shoes and the amount of weight they were able to put on their feet. As you saw, like once it went down to the arms and they were holding themselves up like that, they were like their legs were up and they had their feet slot like locked in. I think holding up a decent amount of weight I think otherwise, obviously, they wouldn't have been able to hang as long. And Josh ends up falling, I think, when his feet slip. And that's when he has to use more of like his, you know, his grip strength and everything. But Marty was able to keep his feet, in like the same position, keeping them in a, like a dry spot to keep them locked in. And you saw Betty kind of like trying to get traction, moving her feet around, but couldn't find like a spot to lock them in. And I do think that even though having, more weight is going to, you know, be disadvantageous in the sense that you have more to hold. I do think it helped when in terms of like getting your feet locked in and putting as much weight on your feet as possible. Or at least that would be my assumption. It's definitely interesting, but yeah, completely changes the competition to change it up like that. Five hours in.
I also think like the mental fortitude is also cannot be like understated in this type of competition. Like if you don't have the physicality to back it up, you're not going to like succeed. But the moment you start to check out or like let the pain like seep into your brain, like it's a rapid downhill slope and you basically lost by that point in time. Like Marty was a man going into that challenge determined, like just being like, oh yeah, from Moose, oh, you might be backdoor and stuff like that. Meanwhile, Betty's like, I got to beat Marty.
So I mean, like worth noting that like they're 5 hours in. When they changed the rules, both like all three of Josh, Summer and Jace were out in 2 minutes. And then, Betty fell at like the 8 minute mark. So, it turned from like a long endurance mental comp to a purely like strength kind of sprint, there at the end for sure.
Yeah. Production knew that this, like, okay, we'll be done in 10 minutes, guys. Lunch is coming, everyone.
Lunch.
The midnight lunch. Again, we don't know what time this was at because we don't get live shows, which like purely live shows, but it gives some context for like, how miserable everyone is for the rest of the evening, because you know, they went 5 hours and let's say they started this at what, like 4, then it's only like 9 o'clock. Actually, I'm back to being like, what are you,
yeah, but on. Imagine being at work at 9 o'clock.
It's, well, if fun. You started at like 1 o'clock, then that's just a full day.
Like you did your fair share.
But if I'm like holding my body up while I'm getting like pelted with cold water as work, then yeah, maybe okay, that's but part what,
a. I'm talking about production. Production was like, we want to go home.
What's their excuse?
Yeah, well, they like, I'm still just so frustrated about that because like this could have been an epic, like all night, really who wants it most willpower type challenge, and immediately just turns into a physical thing. Sad.
Yeah, it was sad, but I did like the idea, like the little bit of hope that even though I knew the results, the little bit of hope that little Betty, she can overcome Marty. Like it's down to her and Marty. She's outlasting everyone else. Like Betty got to do it for her and for Josh. It would have been a nice underdog story, but you know.
So one thing I wanted to ask what you guys think. So do you think that they actually told them ahead of time, like if we hit like 5 hours, then the rule change? Because we didn't hear that in Arissa. Like we literally got the full explanation of Arissa describing the challenge and how it worked. Any questions? That part did not get explained from what I recall. And then we got the producer voice being like, okay, guys, we're going to change to the next phase. And we got like a DR saying like, explaining what that this was a rule, but I'm not super clear on whether they knew ahead of time.
There's usually additional explanation that happens. Like Arissa reading them the rules is usually like the sort of
a lot
like
longer.
That's like for the show. And then there's usually like either a back and forth or just a more like in-depth explanation of the rules by usually like a producer, I think.
What they showed of Arissa tonight seemed like a longer version than we saw at the end of the Thursday show.
Well, I think part of the explanation tonight was ADR, because I think even Arissa mentioning the width of the lanes, I don't think she said that
wasn't
in the
on the show. That's why I was like, fact. We got the extended cut of Arissa. So, but
yeah, she probably didn't even say that to them at all. She probably just recorded that for us.
But like at the end of the day, the frustrating part isn't like we didn't know everything. It was that I think we've already noted on this podcast, like the rule changed significantly changed the challenge. And I feel like that's the frustrating part about this entire endeavor.
And I don't know. I'm not trying to be like conspiracy theory person here.
No, I love conspiracy theories.
Like, Were they told ahead of time? Because we didn't get any explanation of that until it happened. And then we had to get DRs of people being like, yeah, this was the rule. I was like, well, why didn't we hear about the rule at the beginning of the comp?
It wouldn't surprise me if they knew ahead of time. I think, you know, typically how they do these, there's usually contingencies for these kinds of competitions mm-hmm. because everyone wants to go home at a reasonable hour. So I would assume that they knew ahead of time, but it is like, it's what the silly part of this is that 5 hours was entirely pointless. Like they could have done this competition in 8 minutes.
Yeah. If that was the point of it, if that's what it was going to come down to, it's like, save yourself all of the water that you were, they probably had hours of water mm-hmm. being pumped on these people. They could have had like a better like water bill. Come on.
Like it's a shame. And I don't, you know, listen, I respect y'all, but I don't care about your families at this moment. Like I want to see the showdown. I want to see a war go down. And I want the battle of the wills. And 5 hours, it's tough. Listen, pause. I couldn't do it for 5 hours, but that's just me. But I want to see y'all do it for 5 hours. For 5, 8, 12 hours, like go all night if y'all have to.
And we saw that Betty had like incredible willpower mm-hmm. during this. Like she was literally in tears fighting through the pain at the end there. And it's just like at a certain point, like you, willpower is not enough. I would have mm-hmm. liked to see something that relied a little bit more on that willpower and that mental strength as opposed to the physical strength. But mm-hmm. alas.
Yes. Well, Betty falls and she's very upset. Everybody's kind of like, you know, it's been over 5 hours and Marty just won. And so everyone's kind of just being like, oh, okay.
Someone had to wake up Gino.
Yeah.
Like, yo, it's over. Get up.
He's like, oh, I guess I have to say the thing, the congratulations part. That's my line.
Betty's gonna cry a bit. She's upset. She's, what is even the point? This guy keeps winning. He's gonna nominate me again. We need Petty Betty back.
Petty Betty.
We need her back. We need Business B.
Business B.
We got to get her back.
We got her. She, like, we had peak Petty Betty tonight and I mm-hmm. loved it. Mm-hmm. Like this was her absolute like pettiest, like the whole episode. She's just like this effing guy. And Josh is just like, oh, come on, Betty. Like, Josh is really trying to guide her, like, off the petty track. And she's like, no, I'm digging my petty heels in.
She's like, I'm not here for the niceties. I am petty all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said, Petty Betty today, Business B tomorrow.
Yes. That's what we want to see.
The classic plot line of my enemy just won HOH. Do I have to go to their HOH room? She does. She does. Marty comes out and
even the people that like are like working with Marty are just like, oh, yeah. Oh God, how are we going to pretend to care about seeing these photos for like the third time? Like, oh, like Helena and JC being like, oh, so cute. Like they're all tired and over it mm-hmm. and they have to feign excitement over stuff that they've seen, the same version of like the winner's outfit we've seen like three times, like one piece is a different color. Like,
yeah, Marty comes out. He's like, hey, it's winners. And Betty's like, that's so great.
You look spectacular.
At this point, I feel like my image of winners is that they just sell bright colored shirts and blazers. Yeah.
Solely pink shirts, blazers, and a light slack. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really
pretty much the look.
Yeah. Well, and at this point, they do not sell women's clothes. So
yeah.
Sorry.
Men only.
Only men winners. Can be winners, they said. Only men can be
winners. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount+.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia.
A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
My favorite part of maybe the whole episode is Marty starts reading the letter and you just hear a little crunch. And Summer's just like holding a chip in her mouth, like, whoops.
And all of like the shots of everyone like looking at her, like, it was that. This episode was actually just so perfectly edited. It was so great. Like, it's like that moment where you're like in the movie theater and like the movie gets really quiet out of nowhere and you're just like crunching on something. Like, it's like, do I just let it dissolve in my mouth so I don't have to chew?
You just start like really slowly, like.
You do like the cough chew.
Well, no, that's worse. You can't cough. What if you need to clear your throat or cough when it gets quiet? You're like,
You'll choke on it.
And then it'll be a worse cough. Like, you'll be going off for minutes.
And then you're just waiting for like an explosion to be like,
honestly, this is just like, because I ate a Dorito yesterday and it made me cough. So that's like, I have like a mental.
Listen, Doritos are dangerous.
They are. Like, don't eat a Dorito if you're recovering from COVID and you still have a bad cough. It's just dangerous.
So the great part about this too is that she does exactly what we were just talking about, where like, when, as soon as he finishes the letter, everyone starts clapping and she just shoves the rest of the chip in her mouth and chews it.
Now's
really
my
fast.
Time. Oh, I've been like holding half a chip for like 10 minutes while he slowly reads his letter.
Like, she's like, do you not know how awkward it is to have a half eaten chip in your hand?
It's like anytime there's food near you that you're going to eat, but you can't eat it yet, is like that. That is one of the, I think it's been outlawed as a torture device. I'm pretty sure.
True endurance challenge.
Yeah.
Genuinely. How long can you wait to eat the rest of this burrito?
How long can you stare at delicious looking food until you give in? That would be a great HOH competition.
Yeah. You know what? That actually sounds like a great HOH comp that we could maybe see on the feeds. It sounds really successful. Like, the mechanics could be perfect. That would be so good.
Oh, darn. Boy. Well, Marty wants to, Marty has an idea for Wendy's that he wants to repair his relationship with Betty by giving up his spot. He's going to send Betty to Wendy's with Helena. And Betty's response is,
I do hate you.
It's like when, you know, like a couple gets into a fight and like to make it up to one of them, it's like, I brought you Wendy's. It's like, oh, wow, you're such a hero. Like, what a nice gesture.
I
like,
got you a romantic getaway. Here it's going to be great. It's a cruise. It's going to be a great time. Like, oh, we're going to go on a romantic cruise together to try to repair things. Oh, no, I got it for you and your friend. It was a gift for you. And it's my friend. I was hoping that you would go with my friend on this romantic cruise to repair our relationship. I just feel like it was a nice gift of me, right? That's, I'm gifting you a thing. You don't have to be with me. It's great for us, right?
But that like is the greatest gift he could have gave her. Time without him. Like,
that is what she was most appreciative of. She said, I'm so grateful that he's not here. It's like... But I thought he was going to stay the entire time because he had to sit there. It's like he had to present the digital menu to them and like sit there awkwardly while they discussed what they were going to order, because he still had to do the act of going to talk to Dan in the Wendy's window. And I was like, oh my God, is he just going to sit there and watch them eat? Because another form of torture is having to eat your food while someone who's not eating sits and watches you. That is And if that person is your enemy, even worse. Like that, if I were Betty, I'd be like, actually, I will pass. You don't get to watch me eat a poutine while you just stare at me. This is so incredibly awkward. So I was very glad that he didn't stick around afterwards. But oh my goodness, it was so weird. He's just like sitting there while they talk about what they're going to have.
Jenny, I'm uncomfortable.
Just imagining it. Like when you go out to eat with someone and like they don't get food, it's like so rude. It's like you duped me. I thought you were getting food. Now I have to eat by myself and you're just gonna look at me?
Correct.
No.
Like you heard of those people that will watch those, what's those thing called? Those mukbangs, they'll just watch other people eat food.
Yeah, that's my worst nightmare, to be the person mukbanging. I think
people like doing that. Like, people love to just watch other people eat food, and it's like hecka uncomfortable, especially if it looks good. What if it was something delicious? Like, not saying Wendy's not delicious, because I'm pretty sure Wendy's like good.
Have you ever had Wendy's?
I've had Wendy's before. Like, listen, okay. Wendy's ain't something I'm gonna bend over backwards to eat. Like,
no,
Wendy's
that's is fast food, but
like Wendy's is the thing I get like at 11 p.m. at night.
Well, it might have been 11 p.m. at night.
You know what, valid.
But did he get food too? Is that like, if he got food? Like,
I think maybe those two,
he just took his food and left and was like, I'll eat by myself. Well, as we know, Marty is always alone. He's like been very upset about this. He's always the odd one out. So he got to, really relish that feeling and like maybe sat and ate the Wendy's alone in like the bathroom or something.
No, but think of it. He's like, I'm a good person. Like, my character is so high that not only am I not going to eat, but I'm allowed to y'all to eat. He gets them their food, walks out, and has his own food just waiting. Like, he's like, I'm not a good person. I'm just trying to fake nicest.
Aaron's trying to make me uncomfortable.
No, you guys just get, I'm just here to watch.
I'm like, thank God I'm not eating. I'm just drinking a tea.
I've sent you two on a podcast. I'm just here to observe. That's all.
Oh my God.
I wanted to cry.
I feel like a zoo animal right now.
I felt like if we just ignored him, he would have stopped.
Karen is trying to traumatize me. Between this and the Dorito, oh my God.
this is
not look, I didn't eat any Dorito. I was being a great observer. I was just, look, you just pretend I'm not here. That's all. It's easy.
At least turn your camera off, man.
And don't be in that pose. Just be chill and vibing, not like attentive. Like, that's uncomfortable.
Do we think that Marty did stay, that he was just kind of like sitting around the corner in the bathroom?
Oh my gosh, like in the tub. He's just like, you guys have your it's like the parent while like, the young couple, like the teenage.
Leave the door open.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? I know, guys, you do your thing. I'm just going to be right over here. Just have your conversations. It's like I'm not even here.
I'm not even listening. I'm just so far. I'm just going to be entertained by this wall and this faucet,
All right. Well, we do get some strategy in this episode as well. We hear from Kevin and Helena. Mm-hmm. And they tell us this.
Ideally, we want Gino out of the house, but that's virtually impossible with Marty.
Yeah, virtually impossible this week. So because that's virtually impossible, they decide, maybe this is the week to just take out Josh. Maybe Josh has to go this week.
What? Like, I understand the dangers of having the couple still in the game after this round. But it's not a bad thing for Kevin and Helena, more Kevin and Helena, for Josh to leave this week. Like, you are not actively, like, putting, getting blood on your hands, sending Josh out. So he's going to the jury. He's high on your game, probably the person most acknowledged. And he don't hate you? Like, I'll be like, you know what? Yeah, Josh, you can, like, just shoot real quick.
Well, the other thing is we get, like, Kevin talking about, like, I'm in control, because like as we hear explained, even by Marty in this episode, is like the Herman boot, like that was him, protecting Kevin and Helena, and they ran his HOH. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, this has happened before. Kevin's like, perfect, we'll do this again. I think Gino is just a little too much work. We're not going to make that happen, but we'll get Josh out. And Marty's like, oh, no, actually, Betty is my target. Like, oh, come on.
Betty's got to go.
Yeah.
Like, why do Betty got to go? Like, first off, for entertainment value, keep the girl
revenge.
Screw your revenge.
She showed better mental toughness.
She knows how to push his buttons.
And she lasted, what, 2 minutes longer than Josh in the HOH?
Like a good like 5 minutes, I think.
Like, it was solidly five. Like, I saw the 5.00.
Okay. Well, that changes everything.
It's a colon. It's called a colon. But Jenny, did you not hear him? No one is going to control his HOH this week. He's going to decide who's going to be the nominees, and he's going to solely decide who is the renom as well.
Yes.
So Mari's going to have all the control.
Yes. Nothing, no one
is going to influence it at all.
Animate or inanimate can stop him.
He's all set. He's even going to talk to Gino and let him know.
Yeah.
Put your feet up. There's no way I'm going to put you up. Jace brings this back to, or Gino brings this back to Jace.
Say, kick your feet up. But we're done. We're doomed.
It's the kiss of death.
I really want to, I know y'all haven't finished, but whoever is on BB 24, please bring in the expression "keep your feet up" into the house. I feel like we need more of this energy.
He's ruined this phrase.
We need more of this. I love the "kick your feet up" curse. Like, we need this to go on forever.
Yes. Just
especially when it's going to get someone I'm not rooting for.
Let's all just kick our feet up for this podcast. Let's just.
Oh my gosh, how am I going to do
God
this?
Bless. There
you go. I have one foot up. One foot.
Both feet. Okay. It's feet, not foot. Not lift your foot up.
Oh, true. It's not kick your foot up.
Get my desk. Okay,
got you. I'm good.
Don't you all just feel more comfortable now? Isn't this a great place
actually,
to be?
Actually, no. My desk is like digging into like my calf. It actually is very painful.
Yeah, I don't love it.
Like, this is very tight right here. Like,
it's actually so bad. Yeah,
I am not enjoying this.
I feel like the blood is rushing to, like spots I don't want it.
I don't know why I agreed to do this.
I feel like we just solved it. I feel like the whole saying itself is wrong. Yeah. Why would you want to kick your feet up? It's not
and,
great.
Like, if you're kicking them, like, that sounds violent. Like, someone could get hurt.
Well, violent. I'm not going to make that statement.
All right. Well, they're doomed, but it's okay. It's okay. They're going to be okay for now here. Mm-hmm. We are going to see that Canada's going to vote to save somebody.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
The wordiest power ever. What is it like? It's the Bel Air Direct Eviction Insurance Safety or something. Like,
it sounds like the name that the people at an insurance company would come up with.
Well, literally. Yeah. Bel Air Direct Eviction Insurance Protection is like.
There, not to be confused with the Bel Air Direct Eviction Protection Pro plan. Not to be confused with the Bel Air Direct Eviction Protection Lite, which is actually more expensive than the regular.
Is there an SE?
There's a full coverage version, which is not actually full coverage with the little asterisk, but it's more coverage than the other one. Then there's the one where they promise that they'll actually give you support on your insurance claim. But that's literally just a phone number that you'll call and be on hold forever with.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
But it's okay. Cause you are a valuable customer.
And not to mention the fact that make sure you read those, the fine print there, yep. Because, purchasing your Bel Air Direct insurance eviction protection, whatever, only protects you for one eviction. And if you are unlucky enough to need coverage again, you are out of luck. You are no longer able to purchase the coverage. I mean, you've already purchased it. You're already on the subscription service, but it will no longer protect you.
And but don't worry, if you're not protected because it expired, you know, we can tweak the coverage of another option in the final hours, and you're suddenly protected again.
See, this is what happens when you choose the basic option. You need the light. Yeah. Light protects you for two evictions, baby. But none of these people are cheap. These people are cheap.
Yes. Well, there were wars fought over over Thursday night and during the day on Friday between fandoms, casual fandoms, Facebookian fandoms, Twitterian fandoms. Oh. And wherever else you get your fans from online. And ultimately, the winner is Summer.
Yes, baby. I was shocked. Like, I woke up because I think it happened while I was sleeping. I don't know. It was a weird weekend, guys. And I woke up and I was like, what? I could not believe it. Like, amazing. This, well done, Summer Stans.
Like, usually when Canada have votes, they usually disappoint me. So when they came through this time, I like felt like a proud papa.
Yeah. I mean, this, we got so lucky that it was not Gino or. Yeah. Something, right? Like,
and like, besides it being like, you know, even if you're not like a Summer fan, I think if you are a fan of, you know, it not being boring and like not being a very predictable week, you have to love this result, right? Like, okay, it's not one of Marty's two main targets, but it is the clear choice for a replacement nominee. So it's not someone he's working directly with. That's fun. Like, don't we want fun?
Like, I will love nothing more than Tamari throwing his game even more. Like, that's my... Like, that brings me joy. That brings me fun.
And maybe Marty told his, like, the Facebook groups to kick their feet up, and this is where it all went wrong.
Kick your feet up. Don't worry about it. Jace's response to this, I believe, was...
You friggin' hurt me.
Canada.
I loved her just being like, wow, that's so sick.
And that's
like,
so amazing.
She's putting on her lip gloss. Like, it was like peak, like, I hate you so much. Like, the moment she realizes, she's like, oh gosh, if Summer is loved by Canada, what does that mean for me? Like, this is so great. I'm so happy for you. I need to do something with my hands so that it's not obvious what my face wants to do right now.
Yeah, not great. But it's great for Summer. She's very pleased, as she should be. And there you go. Summer is safe. She says, I was the clear replacement nominee. So now that means this veto is all the more important, because if one of Betty or Josh win this veto, Marty's going to have to nominate either the showmance or his one and two, Kevin or Helena. And, That's where we're at here.
It was also like, it was a weird tonal shift. Like, this entire episode, it was like Betty doom and gloom. Like, oh, Betty looking for a power. Betty needs something. Like, oh, this is going to be bad for Betty. Like, Marty wins, Betty's going up. It feels like tonally, I know we don't script this stuff, but tonally it's like, Betty would have been like the author. If someone was writing the story, Betty would have won it. No offense, Summer.
This is the next best thing, though. We need to, you know, get the fire under Petty Betty so that she can morph into Business Bee. Okay, that is the storyline here.
Okay.
We need her to carry on the Business Bee job.
Because well, now it's time to go out and get it.
This is Business Bee. Let's get it.
Just gotta go get that veto.
I'm rooting for you, Betty. My Lord knows we are.
Yes. We do see the nomination ceremony. Marty nominates Josh and Betty. And how disrespectful that they laugh as they get nominated, right? Disrespectful to the process.
That's all that happens at these nomination ceremonies, is like any sort of joy or glee or dancing or smiling, like, you must be miserable. I'm sorry.
This, like, is revenge. You don't get to be happy.
I'm sorry for every future HOH. You're going to have to look like a clown during your nomination ceremony because we ain't going to take you seriously. We done.
But like,
yeah,
they have known from the second that Marty won the competition that they're going up. And so it's like, I feel like the nomination ceremony, especially on BB King, where it's like so incredibly intense and dramatic that like, it's almost like in these very intense, dramatic moments, it's like laughing in church. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, it's like, you know that you're supposed to be taking it seriously, but like, you just can't because you know you have to. And I feel like they've been prepared for this. Like, of course they're going to laugh because they're looking at each other being like, yeah, I know.
Well, it's big, like teacher disciplining a student energy, right? Like you're mm-hmm. in the classroom. The teacher is like, Hey, you two sit in the corner. And the kids are like, sit in the corner. You're dumb. Hey, what did I, what? Hey, you somberly go sit in that corner.
You're being punished.
Oh, we're being somber. Oh, send them to the principals. This is disrespectful.
The somber levels were not high enough. They got to go. Get them out of my classroom.
They kicked their feet up on the desk. Yeah. No feet on the desk.
Put your feet back down. Hey, Marty is a coach, right? Maybe maybe this whole kick your feet up thing, it's got an origin in a classroom.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think should kick your feet up wearing skates. That sounds dangerous.
Ooh.
I hope he's not saying that like in the locker room. All right, guys, kick great game. We're kick down. Your feet up.
We're down a couple of points here, but it's okay. It's going to be okay. If we just need to follow one rule when you're out there on the ice.
Yes.
I need you to kick your feet up. Like, what?
Whoa.
I know. All of that time we spent training and I was teaching you how to kick your feet up on the desk, on a chair, mm-hmm. on a car. It was all to prepare you for this moment. Mm-hmm. Okay? I Karate Kidded you. All right? Now get out there and kick your feet up and slice them open.
Honestly, I want to cry. That was so inspirational.
I love like imagining what Taryn thinks is actually happening in a hockey game. Like, is it, they're on ice, right?
I almost said field, but then I was like, wait, no. I know what
it's
happens in
field.
Hockey. It's a frozen field.
Yeah.
They freeze the whole thing beforehand.
They just put some water on top of the grass and just let it go.
Oh boy. All right.
Didn't play sports as a kid like Betty, did you?
No.
At least not hockey.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds Gummy Clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Well, Betty and Josh are on the block. They've lost a combined 23 competitions, but they are still threatening. And that means that they will both be competing in the veto to save their lives in the game as we wrap up the episode. Anything else from the episode that we should talk about before we get into some spoilerinos?
I feel like Josh was like hammering home like the jury management thing to Marty in the show. But and I feel like, of course, Marty's not winning because he has not been doing good at it. But I feel like a way to go against the nominations, I feel like he couldn't have gone better about it. Am I wrong?
He couldn't have done better, or he could have done better.
Between, like, he was like, he wasn't making it personal. He was being straight up and honest with the folks. Betty refused to go see him and stuff in the show. So I feel like it's like, you know what? He's like, this isn't personal. This is game. I feel like if I would have lost, you would have, she would have put me up on a block. Like, you got to go up.
I feel like Josh was like very vaguely trying to threaten him. And I don't know. It wasn't obvious to me if Marty was like picking up what he was putting down. Like, he was like, yeah, you just got to be thinking about, I see you getting the end. You got to think about the jury and relationships. And it's like, Marty's just like, yeah.
Jury's very important. You got to think about that. And, you know, the relationships that you have. Somebody's on the jury.
Mm-hmm.
Consider.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple people on the jury. Maybe you should consider it.
Yeah. Josh, what not are you a fan of Marty.
No.
Not a fan of Marty. Betty, but also not a fan
of Marty. He's so much better at handling it. Like, the whole episode is him being like, come on, Betty, you gotta try.
Betty, you gotta do something.
But also, if you are Josh and you're like, you know that it's between you and Betty, that's probably what's gonna happen. You know now that, I don't, maybe not at this point, didn't know that Summer was gonna get the safety. But it's like, You need to be the more desirable person, the person that's being a little bit more friendly to Marty, so that he's like, okay, well, I can't get both of them out. So, you know, I'm going to keep the person that is maybe not going to put me up, as opposed to the person that is literally not speaking to me. So like, it's like, that's all you can really do. But I don't know. I felt like it was like a little bit of a vague jury threat. And it didn't seem like Marty was catching it. He was like, yeah. It's like, okay.
Yeah. I love Josh here. Like, I mean, I just want to make sure that you're aware that Betty and I, you know, we do have a personal relationship, but, we do not share. I would just like, you know, those disclaimers they put on the US feeds. I would like to put up one of these disclaimers to you in regard to Betty. Like, the views and expressions of Betty do not reflect
Josh.
My own personal views of anything. I do have a personal relationship with Betty, but we are separate people. And she is free to express her own things there. And you know, Marty, I think we're good. I think that, you know, we can still work together, right? Right? Like, what if I just kicked one little foot up right here? Like, just one foot. All right. You can kick. That's okay.
Oh boy.
Good stuff.
I mean,
also,
he's got to do something. He's got to say something.
You can't be like, oh, I'm going on the block. Let me just like give up and die. Like, let me just accept it. Like, you gotta try something. So I get it. I respect the fight. Oh,
I think the move there is you just like, you know that there's probably nothing that you can say to get him to consider putting up somebody else. So you just be as like agreeable as possible and being like, listen, I understand that she's your target. She's my personal friend. You know, like, obviously I would hate to see her go on a personal level, but I can understand why that maybe is best for my game as well. And I don't want this to be, you know, the end of us having a possible, like, you know, route to working together here. And I hope that, you know, that if you put me up next to her, I'm not going to hold it against you. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I'll go after you next week. And like, maybe we can work together. It's like, I think that maybe is the move, is just to be as like agreeable as possible and seem very chill. And it's like, oh, maybe. Okay. Yeah. Like, he's a free agent after this. Maybe he will like protect me. I don't know. It's hard to know with Marty. It's hard to know what the strategy is with him, because like, even the people that he's literally obsessed with, he might just decide to, you know.
You know, it's Marty. He can do anything at this point.
Yeah, get a cup and some snacks, and who knows what's going to happen.
All right. Well, I think that's what we have from the episode. Let's discuss some spoilers. We can reveal the winner of the veto and what the plans are for the rest of the week here. So if this is where you are going to bow out, thank you for joining us. Make sure you come back here on Wednesday. We'll have another recap for you, spoiler free until we get to the spoiler section. It's like, I mean, look, what you're really doing here is like, you're, you know, you're eating dinner and you're like moving away all of the good stuff. And you're like all the peas are getting pushed to the side. You know, all the vegetables, all the broccoli on this side. And you're just like, you're just eating the mashed potatoes. And that's it.
Staring at you while you're trying to eat it.
Yeah, exactly. And Marty's just sitting there like, is it good?
Do you like the peas?
How is it? Do you like it? It's real balance, right? Just the mashed potatoes.
It's fine.
Fine. That's basically what you're doing. But if that's what you want to do, that's fine. I'm giving you the option of whether or not you want this particular spoiler gummy bear in your ears. But you probably want to listen to it. So here we go. Let's talk some spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. Let's talk it through. So we have some spoilers. Couple of things to explain. First, we didn't see it in this episode. We might see it in tomorrow's or Wednesday's episode. But Marty caught Kevin having a clandestine meeting with Josh.
All right. All right.
And he was like, that is suspicious. And so he started to get concerned that Kevin and Josh may secretly be working together. Then we got to the veto competition where,
this is business B. Let's get it.
She got it.
She got it.
Business B took the veto home and will be taking herself off the block, which means that, now take what I said before, apply it to the situation. Marty is concerned that if anybody other than Kevin goes on the block, that Kevin might flip the vote to save Josh because they may secretly be working together. So Marty is thinking, I got to put Kevin on the block. That's what I've got to do. It's got to be Kevin. Meanwhile, Kevin is like, if anybody other than me goes on the block, I am flipping this vote. Or Helena, of course. So Marty's putting up Kevin. That's where we are. As soon as Betty wins the veto, it's pretty clear that's the direction things are going to go. Kevin tries to push back. Helena tries to push back. They make a little bit of progress. Then Kevin has a whole task, which we are not going to get into in this spoiler recap.
Listen to this morning's update for that.
Honestly, even if you are listening to this right now and you haven't heard the actual spoiler, get the podcast from this morning into your into your brain, because there's plenty of great stuff to hear from it. But all of that happens. The feeds go down.
Yes.
They come back up this morning. Conversations have been had. Kevin has a conversation with Marty that we didn't see. And Marty wakes up. He's got a new idea. All right.
Tell me this idea, Tara.
He's no longer concerned that Kevin will flip because he thinks everybody's on board. So in order to get everybody on the same page, make everybody feel comfortable, you know, everybody feeling better and not feeling like they have to betray each other, throw each other under the bus or anything. He's got a new idea. He brings them all into the HOH room. And he says, you know how in Survivor, when you draw rocks, everybody loves drawing rocks, right? Like that makes everybody feel super comfortable.
Yeah.
Makes them feel like, okay, I don't have to, you know, like, oh, people would vote me out. No, it's just a rock. It's just easy. Nobody has to have their feelings hurt by the rock. What if we took that concept and applied it to Big Brother with, you know, what's better than rocks though?
What?
Gummy bears.
Taryn, nothing says fair like a little gummy bear. Okay. That is the only way. It's the fairest way.
Do you think Marty sometimes, while the feeds are down at night, lays out some gummy bears around him in a circle and just tells them to kick their feet up?
Oh my God.
No, well,
as each one, he's like, kick your feet up, little green bear. Chomp.
Oh, your feet are already up. Uh-oh.
Up in my teeth.
This is psychopath behavior. What is this? Y'all are torturing these edibles.
At this point, you may be thinking, wow, that's wild. I can't believe he did that. Who drew the gummy bear? That's so interesting. It's more interesting than you might think, because it wasn't everybody. Mm-hmm. There were four people that could go on the block. Mm-hmm. Three gummy bears. Kevin, Helena, Jace, and Gino, but only three gummy bears. Why? Why only three? Well, Marty can explain. He says, look, given the history with Gino, mm-hmm. the relationship that he doesn't want Gino to feel like he's turning on him. Mm-hmm. So he's going to gracefully say, hey, Gino, I only have three gummy bears. I don't have a gummy bear for you. I'm leaving you out of it. You are safe from the gummy bear draw. But as we all just agreed, it doesn't really matter who goes up. So I'm giving you the option. If you want, I can add a gummy bear for you, or we can have three gummy bears. And Gino says,
I'm definitely a lover boy.
Gino says, too much math.
Throw it in. Throw in my gummy.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't have probability. It's fine.
I am the guy that evicted my closest ally mm-hmm. on my first HOH.
Yes.
Of course, I will throw a gummy into the bucket. Mm. So in goes a fourth gummy bear. Dang. Now, here we are. Four gummy bears in the bucket. Helena draws a gummy bear. Jace draws a gummy bear. Kevin draws a gummy bear, and Gino grabs the last gummy bear in the bucket.
Suspense.
They're all holding it out like they've drawn rocks in Survivor.
I'm sweating.
In their fist. There's a countdown. 3, 2, 1.
The moose curse is upon you.
Gino. Gino drew the red gummy bear. And immediately, Kevin's like, don't worry, we got your back. And Gino's like, okay.
He's like, what a terrible decision I made.
What did I just do? And they're like, don't worry, we're all set. Remember, we all just agreed. It doesn't matter who goes up of the five. Let's get our picture on the wall like the Pretty Boys. Let's give the five signal. Where fits the five. Jace is like, if one of you flip, I swear to God, I will be kicked out of this house because I'll be punching somebody. And Kevin goes, don't worry. Nobody's going to flip. I swear on my marriage.
Listen.
See the ring?
Perfect yes. thing to swear on. Like Kevin.
Who would betray their marriage?
Their marriage?
So.
Yeah.
We get to the veto ceremony. Betty takes herself off the block.
No, Betty.
And Gino is the replacement. Now, if you had any concerns that, okay, well, they did all promise, so maybe they will just vote Josh out.
You know you can take a promise to the bank.
This is Kevin.
Kevin.
This is Kevin we're talking about.
I would campaign against my own mother.
Yeah. And he's a very, very...
I'm a bad boy.
Bad boy.
I'm a bad boy.
So,
well, he should campaign against his mother because didn't he say his mother is more of a fan of Summer than him? So
he's pretty sure. He's pretty sure. So as of right now, Gino will be going home on Thursday.
Ideally, we want Gino out of the house, but that's virtually impossible with Marty.
Virtually impossible.
But not gummily impossible.
Hold my gummy bear. Can I just say, this is weird. Like, this is really weird to me. So this here is mm-hmm. a little package of gummy bears.
What's your favorite?
I have had this. It came with like a Sephora order for some reason. I have no idea. Really weird. So it's been in a bag of mine for like, I don't know, a couple weeks. And this morning I was getting ready to go to the office. I haven't been to the office in a couple weeks. And I pulled this out and I was like, oh, I still have this bag of gummy bears. This is so weird. I should eat these. And then I just put them back. I get to work. I open Twitter because that's what I do at work, apparently. And I see the gummy bear thing start. I was like, this is weird. This is not a thing I normally buy. This is like a sample gummy bear package that I specifically picked up and looked at today and said, this is weird. I still have this.
Chug another one up to the moose curse.
Moose curse I'm just is saying. Upon you.
Are you moose cursed?
I mean, I'm a fan of moose, so maybe I'm just trying to carry out his curse through finding gummy bears.
I think you were the person that's supposed to send us this message. Like, you were the person all alone. You had the secret in your box of Sephora. Like, you knew this whole time what was going to happen. And we had to wait for you to come on the podcast to manifest it all.
It all just came together at the perfect moment. I'm just saying.
It's perfect.
I don't know what to do with them now. They're lucky. And also, wasn't it a red gummy bear that was one? Yeah. There are a couple green. There's a yellow. There's like a clear white one, light pink. There is only one red gummy bear in this little package here.
Oh, Jenny, are you witch doctor?
Just saying. Like,
this is wild.
Manifest it.
Like, which part of the stupidity would you like to kick off with, Jenny? Like, would you like to kick off with the fact that, you know, Gino was like, yes, I am safe right now, but let me actively put myself in danger? Or would you like to go to the point where Marty said, Kevin's going to flip this vote if I don't put him on the block, and then decides not to put him on the block?
Well, we know that the Big Brother gods are very heavy handed in Big Brother Canada. It's like going all the way back to season one when they were like, nope, a buyback at the final four is not OK. We are not going to allow this all the way to now where they said, look, Gino, he got his save. When we put Betty on a different couch than Marty. During that double eviction, that was us intervening on behalf of Gino because we think he's real cute. All right.
Very cute.
He doesn't get a second one.
No. Nope.
So dropping that extra secret veto in last week to save his life this week. No. We are going to figure out a way to make sure that Gino gets moose cursed. And Kyle Moore tweeted out. On April 16th, talking about the veto spin wheel, the Gino, his color on the veto wheel was red.
and Kyle was excited.
Gino got red. And that makes me happy. My boy got my color. Bring it home, brother.
He's bringing it home himself.
I hope he gets to keep the red gummy bear. Because he's got to give it to Kyle now.
It's wild. Like, I had to double check the date of that tweet when I saw it because I was like, this is not real. This is not
the real Kyle Moore. This is somebody pretending to be Kyle Moore making a tweet on the 18th.
Production took over his account. He said, I should have never gotten involved with this business. You can now have my Twitter account. Do what you want. Do some ominous tweets on my behalf.
The Big Brother God said, what better way to punish Gino than to bring it back to the week that he turned on his friend in the game and give him the color of Kyle Moore?
I feel like it's such a fitting end.
He protects the guy that continues to go against him and then immediately apologize. And, you know, he told him to kick his feet up. And he literally said, you don't have to pick a gummy bear. And Gina said, you know what? I would like to test my luck a third time. Let's see what happens here. I'm a gambling man.
But do you not low-key feel like that was a trap? Like, oh, we were all loyal. We all said okay, and Gina just still didn't want to put a gummy bear in? That's shady, isn't it?
Kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know trust what? You is know there. What? We all trust each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it's also a little bit shady to not turn on Kyle in week four. But, like, probably would have been better for his game, you know? So it's like, who cares? Who cares if it's shady? Who cares if it was a trap? Who cares about anything? The man is offering you safety in the form of a gummy bear.
Yeah.
You don't go, look, I don't want to do this. To you, I don't want to do this to her. I'm gonna not use the gummy bear. Because you're gonna get a slap on the head. They're gonna say, why didn't you use the gummy bear?
Like, I'm so baffled. Like, honestly, guaranteed safest is the one thing that you always want. Like, I don't care how you get it. I don't care what the other folks think about you. Like, I don't care if JC Lynn gets it. Like, you're safe. That's all that matters. And sure, there's a triple coming up, but you don't know that. You just know that, like, I'm safe for another round. At the end of the day, listen, you're sitting next to Josh. And I understand that Josh is like, people have eyes on Josh, that Josh got to go because he's going to win the game. Comma, but you got a showman in this house. You have a man that's willing to die on you. You are too juicy of a target to be sitting on the block right now.
He's very juicy.
Like, so juicy. Like, juicier than the gummy bear.
But, like, it's, like, it's... I just don't understand why you can't just be like, yeah, this is, like, you know, he made... Marty made one promise this mm-hmm. week. He said, kick up your feet to one person. And that's Gino. We have an understanding. It's like he kind of owes me one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sit the gummy bear out. You guys have fun. I don't want the gummy. You guys have a great time.
Yeah. It's like Gino should have just the second Marty was like, here's your guy. You tell me if you want to put this in. By the time Marty finished asking Gino if he wanted his gummy bear to be in the bucket, mm-hmm. the gummy bear should have been in Gino's mouth. Like, oh,
oh, sorry.
So, oh, I just, sorry, I was hungry. I just decided to, I guess we'll just go with three.
No, that's when they flip and they're like, oh, well, we all have the white ones. You just ate the red one. So you actually just took the red pill. So, sorry.
Gino, of course, after the fact, talking to Jace was like, I think I shouldn't have drawn a gummy bear, because if I mean the odds were two to one there, we had the advantage. I don't know why I did that.
You know what, Gino, I got the same question for you. Like, because golly, this man has gotten more breaks, and he actively said, I actively do not want these breaks. I want my path to the NBS unlikely as humanly possible.
AJ, he's very, very pretty. And he really just likes making his own life more difficult. And he's, I love that for him.
He's going to jury.
Yes.
In just a few nights.
Yes.
Because he decided to draw a gummy bear.
It's wild. It's like I still can't believe it. Oh my gosh. The memes write themselves, truly. Like,
honestly, add the gummy bear to the stock watch and give it a 10.
Oh, gummy bear is the big winner this week.
Yeah. Well, that's where we are.
Yeah.
In the Big Brother Canada 10 house.
Didn't Marty, like, basically tell Kevin, like, you better not speak to Josh or I'll kill you? Mm-hmm.
He said, Don't spend too much time talking to Josh or anybody, because we don't want Gino to get nervous. We want to make him feel nice and comfortable all week long. And so Kevin, of course, immediately went to Josh and was like, so I'm not allowed to talk to you, actually.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It's so great. I think that's great for Kevin. Kevin loves a little side quest. You know what I mean? Like, he just has his own little side quest the other night. And now he's like, he gets another job where it's like, oh, I have to avoid Josh. That's fun. Makes the week a little more spicy.
Kevin and Helena talked about how they'll be turning on Marty, and Kevin was like, doesn't it just feel great when, like, your morals align with your strategy? Isn't that just fantastic?
Oh, that's amazing.
It's wonderful. That's great.
So we've got quite the Wednesday episode ahead of us here. Mm-hmm. Not only the gummy bear situation, mm-hmm. but again, there was a task, a March of the Moose task, where Kevin had to convince everybody he was self-evicting. So I imagine we'll see plenty of that on Wednesday. And then, of course, Thursday, the triple eviction, where it's looking like it's now going to be everyone versus Jace in the triple eviction. And who knows where Jace shoots if she wins that HOH, given the fact that she will have just been betrayed by Kevin and Helena.
Well, so, she might get kicked out because she's going to punch someone in the face.
Exactly. Let's also consider
she can go right behind
punch
him.
Punch factor. Yes.
She immediately decks someone and just follows Gino out the door.
I mean, there's a very good chance that, you know, on Friday, like midday Friday, Gino, Jace, and Marty will all be riding in the back seat of a car on their way to jury.
Taryn, don't get my hopes up. Don't let me get excited.
I hope the weather is better by the time they're taking that drive, because it was snowing here today.
Oh boy.
Yeah, April 18th, so no big deal. Have they settled on what they're going to do in terms of the vote? I thought there was discussion about maybe one of Helena and Kevin would vote one way and one the other way, so that they can possibly just do like the confusion about who flipped.
Helena suggested it, but Kevin was against the idea for now. Which I'm not sure I'm on board with. I think that like part of the concern is that that first of all, from Kevin's perspective, he would certainly get the blame. I mean, he's the person that they already suspected. So if Helena flips with him, it's sort of like it's both of us shares the blame a little bit for his own personal game. But then also like what if Summer flips or something, right? And then all of a sudden like you're in some real deep trouble. I don't think Summer would flip without telling anybody. So I don't think that's a super concern. Personally, I would do it even if I was Kevin, because I feel like the chaos of, who did it, could be great for the triple eviction. But, but he's kind of feeling like, we'll hold off for now.
I think that if it didn't possibly screw him the most of everyone, that this is exactly the kind of chaos that Kevin would be on board for. But I think because, there was already suspicion of, like Marty literally telling him that he's afraid that he would, try to save Josh, like, you got to kind of protect your ass at this point. So,
well, listen, by the time Gino's walking out those doors, Kevin's like exposed, like his ass is already out there and have been beaten. Like, so give your ally some protection, some end for the people. So that way, even though you're still in the game, y'all, at least one of y'all are still good and can like go to bat for the utter or fight for them. Like, I'll prefer to have someone on inside than like both of us on the out. But then again, it's like, where did Jace go?
I think part of it here is that, like, when I thought of the idea this morning, it was like, I'm thinking of it knowing that there's a triple this Thursday. But they don't know, they suspect that there might be, but they don't know that there is a triple, right? Mm-hmm. And so, the intended damage control here is, remember back, cause like the thing this brings to mind, for me at least, is, Dan evicting Shane, Dan who called Marty a compiest. That immediately after he does that, he goes to Danielle and he says, I had to do it. Okay. And I couldn't tell you. And that's pretty much what Helena and Kevin intend to do with Marty and Jace. Like, look, we did you a favor. Marty, we knew you couldn't do it. And so a united front in that for that damage control makes more sense. Especially if there wasn't a triple eviction and there's like a lot of time where they need to explain themselves and potentially get out of the mess. I do think it does make some sense there. I still want them to split their vote because I know it's a triple and I feel like it would be more fun, but.
Yeah. I mean, there's still time for Chaos Kevin to get a little bored and say, this could be fun.
Yeah.
Never say never.
All right.
I have my some issues with Kevin, but my favorite thing about Kevin is he's always like, what's going to make fun TV? Like, what's going to make fun feeds? And I respect
and
that.
I appreciate that.
I respect that so much.
All right. Well, that's what we've got for tonight. What a night of Big Brother. What a week of Big Brother. What a season of Big Brother. As the man, these gummy bears really turned this whole ship around. We were kind of heading in the wrong direction for a little while there.
BB Can 11 needs to be sponsored by Hair Bro.
Like, what do I do with these now? Do I keep them, right? Like, this is like, feels like,
I don't know. That's like a souvenir.
It feels like it's part of the lore to me. So.
Like, you look at that gummy bear and you always be like, the one good Marty H.W.H.
You know, now when I look at gummy bears, I see home.
For Gino. Yeah. Home for Gino.
Yeah. Home for Gino. All right. Well, I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning to update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds, even though we did already go over the coming bear situation this morning.
Good again, Taryn.
And then, reprise. Of course, tomorrow night, we have a round table. We've got to rate these players and talk through the whole week, project what might happen in the triple eviction. It should be a lively round table, so make sure you tune in tomorrow night for that. And then, of course, Wednesday, I will be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching the Wednesday night episode where we watch Kevin's Task, we watch the Gummy Bears, we watch Gino go up, we watch Betty win the veto. Should be a great show. And then Survivor as well. I'll be live on Twitch watching along with you, all of you. And then after, I'll be recording about both Big Brother and Survivor on that Wednesday night. And then Thursday, I'll be live on Twitch watching the Triple Eviction with all of you. And then after, we'll be talking through everything that we see on the Triple Eviction as we will go from 8 to 5 here in the Big Brother Canada 10 house. So stay tuned for all of that. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Check out the Taryn Show. Gabby has an interview out, and the final Taryn Show of this second batch of Taryn Shows will be with Lisa from Survivor New Zealand. Great conversation with Lisa. Make sure you check that out when it drops. Stay tuned. But that's what we've got. AJ, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at DougKidNorris. That's where I repost all my projects, especially my podcast, Two Can't Keep a Secret, a Pretty Little Liars podcast. This past episode, we had the great Sarah Ferguson on, and you should be seeing a couple other familiar faces on the podcast coming soon.
All right. And Jenny?
You can find me on Twitter at Jenny Autumn, and Rob Sesternino and I have been covering Beyond the Edge week after week. We're slogging through the bog together, so we'll be doing that again this week. So keep an eye out for that on the main feed, or subscribe to the Beyond the Edge feed. And yeah, that's been a strange and wonderful time.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you tonight. Thank you all so much for joining us here, and we will see all of you next time.
And will someone finally please just stick to their plan?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.